Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
By the grace of God, we're going to talk about today how love for Jesus is the foundation for any work that we will ever do for him. You know what I mean? Yeah, we have to be in love with him. You know, you can love something or someone, but there's quite a difference when you are in love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be in love. We have so much to be in love about. And I think that we don't sometimes meditate and take the time to pause on the goodness of who he is. You know, oftentimes when you go back and you think about certain relationships in your life and you review and you start seeing some of the encounters and some of the things that you experience, some of the highs and some of the lows, and you review them, you realize, wow, man, I a sense of gratitude, love gets rekindled for that person or people in your life, and you realize, man, this is pretty intimate, this is pretty good, this is, and all of a sudden there's a warmthness that occurs in your heart again for the people that have impacted you in that way. The same is true when we have a relationship with the Lord. We are to remember the wonders of the Lord. We are to meditate on his goodness. We are to enter his courts with thanksgiving. And one of the greatest ways that you can be so filled with the majesty and the awesomeness of God is to recount all of the ways of how you're grateful for him. I mean, you can spend an hour. You can spend over an hour just thanking him for everything that he has done to you, for you, and through you.
Changes your perspective.
Completely, doesn't it? Completely. And there's something about gratitude that's so important. There's something about gratitude that just begins to open you up. But, you know, I was abiding in Revelation, and basically, you know, it's amazing. I love the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, and it's the revelation of Jesus. And in the second and in the third chapter of Revelation, it's pretty interesting. You know, we find that Jesus reveals a few things here. You know, there's a pattern that you'll find. He kind of first says who he is. Then he normally, you know, what good he sees the church doing, because it's the seven churches, right? The first, you know. And then what they need to fix, you know, what's wrong. And then you find that with each church, he offers a reward for those that overcome. He offers a reward. And this is really, really interesting. But when we look at, you know, Revelation 2, the church of Ephesus, we notice a few things, right? This is amazing to me, but it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the golden lampstands. Oh. He says, I know your deeds, okay? Your hard work, check, and your perseverance. I mean, these are people that had deeds that were good. Mm-hmm. Their actions were right. These were folks that worked hard. You know, a lot of people, you know, love to enjoy the things of God, but they don't want to invest any kind. It's going to require your life. It's going to require hard work.
Right.
We're working hard. It requires hard work. And he knows your perseverance. And perseverance is so important, because no matter where you are in your relationship with God, you're going to need to persevere. This is a real spiritual battle. If you have not noticed this already, here's a clue. The enemy, Satan, does not like you.
No.
And the minute that you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he wants to steal you away.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to steal you away. And so you have to persevere. You have to press on, press through, keep on, you know, moving forward, because he's trying to do everything he can to hinder you, to entangle you, and to stop you from going hard after God. That's what he wants to do. And so this church is one that perseveres. They're saying, hey, perseverance means that you're actually pressing through something that's difficult. It's not, you know, that's the definition. You're pushing through something that's pushing back against you. but you're going to keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. And you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. So it's like, man, these folks are serious. These folks are really, you know, they're the real deal. And, you know, what's important, if you start looking at that, is that nothing escapes the eyes of God. Everything is before him. He knows all things. He sees all things. You know, he knows our thoughts before we're even going to think about them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't escape him, right? And so he talks about all the things he knows. But this is what's really amazing. Jesus clearly saw that the church was working. He saw their deeds. He saw all of this stuff. But yet he had this one thing against them. Here's another clue. It's not good when Jesus has something against you. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen all your perseverance. I've seen that you're here. You're going after your church that's, mm-hmm. you know, making it happen. You're preaching the gospel. You're serving folks. You're loving on people, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But he says, yet I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love. That word forsaken means abandoned. You've abandoned your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember the height. Remember that place of intimacy. We're talking about hunger and passion. Remember the time that you were passionate for me. Remember the time that you were hungry for me. Remember the time that although your body was physically wasted, you wanted to stay up a little later just to be with me and my word, right? Mm. That you wanted to go harder after them, even though you were invited to go out and have a meal and do something else, you really wanted to, you declined all that stuff and said, I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to just read my Bible right now. I just want to be amongst my brothers and sisters that are going after him. You know what I mean? So he says, you have this one thing, I have this one thing against you. You've left your place of intimacy and that place for love. And this was interesting. I saw this. A friend of mine, Ryan Bruss, posted this, and I thought this was so cool. I saw this the other day, and I think it just resonates with everything that we're saying here today. It says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work.
Mm.
I'm gonna say that again. Passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. And, you know, you're working hard and you're doing things for God and all this stuff is great and wonderful. But where's the passion for the Lord?
Yeah.
Where's the passion for him?
Yeah, it reminds me of what Jesus also said in Matthew 7,
mm-hmm.
which is real similar to what he just said in Revelations. He says, many will come to me on that day.
Mm.
He says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Didn't we perform these miracles? Didn't we, you know, do this awesome radio program? Didn't we do, you know, whatever God's called you to do?
Right. Did you love?
Yeah, exactly. But then he says, but then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you.
Mm.
In other words, you never spent time with me. You didn't abide with me.
Wow.
I don't know who are you?
Who are you?
You did all this stuff, but I don't know who the heck you are.
Mm.
Isn't that wild?
That's scary. That puts a fear of God in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get caught up and lost in the work and forget who you're doing it for.
Yeah.
Right. If you think about the one who is love, are we loving? Because we can so do something, like you're saying, it's like the foundation of what we're doing has to be love. It has to be rooted in love. And so often it's like, that's been a constant, like you're saying, just the fear of the Lord. So it's like, why am I doing this? Because if I'm doing it for love, it doesn't matter how it's received. It doesn't matter what's said about it or not, because if we're doing it for Jesus, if we're doing it in the root of love,
right,
we're just choosing to love.
Yeah. Your passion, you know, for God is your fuel to just keep moving and doing things for him. You know, you're just in love with him. So there's no cost, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I mean, there is a cost. Don't get me wrong. But it's almost like, man, I'm glad to pay the cost. This means like nothing to me because I'm just so in love for you. And that's what love does. Love causes you to pay, you know, exorbitant amount of prices. When you think about a parent and what a parent is willing to sacrifice for, a parent that loves their child, right? A parent that truly loves your child, they go through the extraordinary lengths. They make amazing sacrifices. It costs them their time, their energy. Everything. It costs them everything to really love on that child and be there for that child and help that child develop and grow, right?
Yeah.
To a, you know, godly young man, godly young woman. It costs you everything.
Yeah.
It really does. And so with that, you don't mind paying the price. What parent? What parent says, well, you know, it cost me my life that he's a godly son or daughter, you know, and I'm still upset about that because I could. No, your parents are going to say that. They're going to say, I'll pay it all over again. I'll sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice again because it was worth it. Because it was my love for my son. It was my love for my daughter that you know, fueled me to do what I, you know, did and say what I had to say and make whatever sacrifices were necessary. Because love was the driving force of what motivate me to do.
And it's amazing because, like you're saying, that when you really see all the things that, like you're saying, it's just, it doesn't matter. You lay down, like you're saying, we've talked about just serving, the love, and it's just like recently what God's been showing me about Paul and so many of the awesome things that Paul was used to do and the hardships that he went through, he didn't care. He understood the fact that, you know, this is my service. I feel
it's, to this I was called. Yeah. This is my lot in life. Yeah. I love him.
And to me, that's such a perspective that comes from love, because we were talking about that recently, is he had such a love encounter with Jesus, is that even in his brokenness and his utter need for Jesus, God still loved him. And through that love encounter, he was able to do so much and go through so much persecution. But he was like, I feel an honor that I'm even called to serve him.
Right.
And it's just like, that's that love perspective, because when we begin to do things from love, it totally revolutionizes what it is that we're doing, because it just doesn't matter, because we're all doing it for him.
Right.
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about love being the absolute foundation for any work that we do for God. It all starts and it's all about love for him. We were just talking about love for God, and this awesome quote that says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. Mm-hmm. See, that's the order. The order is passion for God first. And so you see workers, I mean, working is good for God. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing something for God, that's a beautiful thing. But here's the difference. Lovers work because of love.
Mm-hmm.
That's why lovers work. Lovers work because they are filled with the love for God, and they know that themselves are, you know, that they are loved.
Yeah.
But workers work to earn love, and we don't need to, you know, we're not earning anything with God. He's already done everything that you know we need.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to love him.
That's right.
You know, enjoy him, and when we enjoy him and his presence and who he is, then we just can't help but to do something for him. It's like, I've got to do something for you. Can I do anything for you?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to be a gatekeeper in your house. What can I do for you? Right. Because I'm so filled with love and gratitude. See, that's the difference. When love is in, it's like, whatever.
Right.
Clean this, pick up that.
Me the broom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me do anything. I just want to be a servant. And that's what minister is. A minister is a servant of the Lord. He wants to serve God. She wants to serve God with everything that they have in any capacity that there is. They just want to show some sort of gratitude and says, if this life, if whatever this little frail life can do for you, if you would allow me the privilege, please. And that's you know, where we need to be. But it was interesting how he saw all this stuff that the church in Ephesus was doing, and you look at, you know, a lot of the American churches, like, seemingly on surface, everything looks like, wow, all this stuff is happening, and the gospel's being preached, and people are being touched, and, you know, all this stuff, but where's the love? You know, is there passion behind that for him, for the Lord? And this is a reminder to us not to abandon that, right. Not to forsake that, not to give that up. And he, this is what he says, though. He says, look, remember the heights to which you have fallen.
Yeah.
Look back. Look back at that time. And maybe you're listening to us or seeing us today, and you're like, you know, man, I remember that. If your reference to when you were the hottest for God was when you got saved 20 years ago, you know, that's a clue. If your reference to, oh, yeah, that time of the Lord was 5 years ago, a month ago, I mean, that can change. He says, remember, what go back to that place. Go back to where you were. He says, remember the height from which you have fallen and do what? Repent.
Right.
Repent and do what? Repent. And do the things you did at first. Do what you did before. What was happening in your life?
Mm.
What were you doing? And you realize that, yeah, at that time of my life, I was probably more humble. I was probably more desperate.
Yeah.
You know, I had greater need for God. Nothing else mattered because we needed to hear God. So we focused our life and our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we told our family we couldn't do these things. You know, I know that everyone's going here and doing that, but right now we just need to focus our 100% attention on the Lord. We're going to spend time in the Word of God as a family. You know, all these different things.
Yeah.
What were you doing? What were you doing?
Right.
And it's, I you're almost sure that if you start inventory your life, you know, I've had opportunity to speak with folks, you inventory your life, you realize somewhere down that path, you got tripped up.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere down that path, you got blessed, and maybe you were overtaken by the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now work has overtaken your ability to really spend time with God the way you wanted to, or you got overtaken by something else, and it's like everything else crowded out that passion for him. So he says, repent. Stop doing what you're doing because it ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to do work for God without a passion for him, then what becomes is just religious works.
Yeah.
And God's like, you know, I really don't need that. You know, you're doing stuff, you know, but it's like, you know when someone's really doing something for you because they love you or because it's like, this is the obligation, I know what I'm supposed to do.
They're going to remind you what they did for you later.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of doing it. This is what I'm supposed, as opposed to, man, Steve, I really want to do this for you.
Just because.
Yeah, because I love you, you know, I want to do this for you.
And you said before, too, as far as just, you know, questioning, okay, why is it the reason why we're doing what we're doing? And so, like you're saying, you know, we can, somewhere along the lines, we've gotten tripped up. I don't know me personally, too. It's just like in that beginning moment of our salvation, it's just like I'm desperate. I'm just, all of a sudden you realize how much you need God and you're hungry for God. And, you know, pride can kind of begin to creep in. And all of a sudden we begin to lean on what we know or what we've learned instead of the God that revealed it to us, or Jesus that taught us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, don't lean on what you've learned. Don't lean on what you can do. Lean on the one who made it known to you.
It's so powerful. Exactly. Because you know that something's wrong there when you begin to, you know, dust your Bible off, maybe you begin to start reading it, and you automatically assume that you know what the scriptures are saying or what God's saying to you that day because you've read that story before.
Right.
Oh, I've heard that message preached before. Oh, I know the five loaves, the two fish. Yeah. No. The word's not fresh to you anymore. Your heart's not soft anymore. You're not eagerly anticipating what God's going to reveal and unveil to you afresh this morning. Yeah, I've read this 1,000 times, but Lord, you're God.
Yeah.
You can do anything. Here I am. Speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
Stir my heart. But this is what happens. He says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand.
Yeah.
I'm going to remove your lamp. The lampstand is to give light.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have no intimacy and you have no light, there's no need for the lampstand. Listen, I'm encouraged to say, let's go back. Let's return to our first love. Let's remember the heights of which we have fallen, and let's return to a place where we can be passionately in love for God, serving him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and saying, God, here I am. I want to know you more. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to just love you. I want to fall in love with you more and more and more. Listen, you only have one chance to walk on this earth. No one's promised tomorrow. seize the day, seize the moment and say, God, I'm not satisfied with religion. I'm not satisfied with just doing stuff. I want to just live for you and love you with everything that's in my being.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the daily radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the daily radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the daily radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.